The message tonight in Psalm chapter 1 is how to be happy in spite of yourself. I gave this as a study several years ago. But I want to look in Psalm chapter 1 because, you know, people search for happiness in various ways. They look for it in various means. Modern day religion has brought forth many books, articles, and studies on how to find happiness. And yet religious people, quote unquote, yearn for peace and satisfaction, and they want social acceptance from their peers. And when religion does not supply those answers and they don't get what they're looking for, they get discouraged. They go to self-help books and they don't offer any real hope. But the Bible, God's Word, gives us real hope, and it does. And keep your finger in Psalm and go over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. And notice what it says here on that. There's a lot of good books with stuff. I've perused through many books and stuff and found out that a lot of them might have what seems to be good, but some of it has some contradictory advice to the scriptures. But there's really nothing like getting into the Bible and seeing what it has to say. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." That's the hope that people have. And people who search for happiness in various ways. You find from time to time celebrities who have fame, fortune, money, popularity, and yet they're not happy. A lot of the things that we see and think, oh, I wish I had this and this and this, and it would bring happiness, but it doesn't. A lot of people who have that, it didn't bring happiness. Happiness and true peace comes from knowing the Lord and serving the Lord and being faithful to the Lord and so on. But let's look in Psalm 1, and before we do, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for today and your blessings for each and every one who's here tonight, and I thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. And I pray now, Father, as I share your word tonight, that the Holy Spirit would empower me, because I don't have any power of my own. Teach us in our hearts and instruct us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 1, it said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Number one, God's preconditions for happiness is, number one, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. As he's talking about it, because look down in verse 4, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." Ungodly people are unstable people. Chaff is worthless. It's from the wheat. It's not the grain. It's the waste. They're carried by the wind. They're blown away. There's a lot of people, theoretically, that they might wet their finger, hold it up, see which way the wind's blowing with popularity or whatever else, and that's the way they go. He said, "The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away." They're unstable, carried by the wind, restless, unquiet. They don't have a firm foundation. The Bible teaches us that we need a firm foundation, does it not? In Jesus Christ. Look over in Isaiah chapter 57 for a moment. In Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21. Here the prophet Isaiah, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes in Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. He said, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Have you ever been down by the ocean? Or in a big lake where the tide rolls in, or where there's a big storm, all of the junk from the bottom comes up to the top. All the garbage and stuff comes up. He said that's what the wicked are like, referring to unsaved. They're like the troubled sea. It cannot rest. They're always searching for peace. They're looking for something else. The waters cast up the mire and dirt. He said that's what the unsaved are like. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." So don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They're unstable people. Something else here in verse number 5 of Psalm 1. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness." And what's going to happen here is we look at this, and that word "stand," "therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment." If you don't search that out, it's not saying they won't be in the judgment, they won't stand. The Hebrew word is they will not have standing at the judgment. They will not be acquitted. There's no one to plead in their behalf. So when the ungodly, the wicked, the unsaved at the judgment, they'll have no one or nothing to plead for them. The Bible said when we're saved, we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. That advocate means he goes in our behalf. He pleads our case We have an advocate with the Father over in 1 John. That's a wonderful thing, is it not, that the Lord is there with us? But the unsaved at the judgment will have nobody to plead their case. You know, and here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our mediator between man and God. And when we sin, and he says to the Father, my blood has washed away their sins. I bought and paid for them. They're our child. But the unsaved, the wicked, it's referring to unsaved people. They will not have standing. They will not be acquitted in the judgment. Sinners will not have standing or be acquitted, no one to plead for them. And so therefore their counsel is nothing to seek after. Look in verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So the ungodly will perish. They're going to die and they're going to suffer the second death. Look over in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, when it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, and it's right after the great white throne judgment. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. And that's what's going to happen to the wicked. And he starts off saying, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, because they have no standing before God. They won't have standing before God in the judgment. Their end, unless they get saved, their ending is going to be here, that they're going to suffer in the second death. And so when we look at this in the scripture, as we read in Revelation 21:8, all of these folks who are not saved, that's the second death. They're going to have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with brimstone. And they're going to perish. And you know, the Bible said every one of us is going to die. And we're going to die one time, but praise God, if you're saved, you and I are not going to face that second death. Only the unsaved are. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But there is a second death, and that we read in Revelation 21:8, that comes to the unsaved. Because that second death will be in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. But if you're saved, we'll only have one death. And to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And you know, they may think their punishment is in this life, but it's not so. You ever hear people say, well, hell is here on earth. How many of you ever heard people say that? Hell is here on earth. No, it's not. If they think that life is so bad, they have made it bad and miserable for themselves. Hell is not here on earth. This world is far from perfect and so on, but God put us all here for a reason. I hear people say, well, if there's a hell, I'm going through it right now, what's here on earth? They're going to change their tune if they don't get saved and they stand before God on judgment day and die and spend eternity in hell, and then when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, and it is real. God doesn't give us fictitious things in the scriptures. And then to make sure your foundation for happiness is based on the only one who can provide it, and that, of course, is the Lord. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Make sure that your foundation for happiness is based on the only one who can provide it. Look at all the things that we have to have, or want to have, rather. There are a lot of things that can bring happiness, but what is long-lasting? Only the things of God last forever. The things of this world don't last forever. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, he said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Back up a little bit to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone there of the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For their foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. The wisdom of the world system is a great and powerful force, but it brings error. It brings unhappiness in this world. And every time I hear of someone who's, say, a celebrity, a singer, or whatever, they've lived in the ungodliness of the world and they die. They've had fame and fortune and happiness and money and all the things they want, but they die of a drug overdose. They die of alcoholism, whatever, because they're searching for peace in pills or in a needle or in a bottle. Their money and fame and fortune doesn't buy their happiness. The things of the world don't bring true, long-lasting happiness. Go over to 2 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. There's only one chapter here. But notice in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. There are a lot of people who they just don't put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Go over to 1 John 2:17. They might have heard about Christ, might know about Christ, but have not put their faith and trust. And to some people, their God is the God of money or fame or fortune, the God of drugs, the God of whatever, the God of immorality. There's a lot of people that make their God something else other than trusting in the one and only true God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And this world is in wickedness. There's a lot of wickedness in this world. 1 John 2:17, and the world passes away. One day this old earth is going to be gone, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And you see, this world's going to be gone. And we build up all of these things in this life for what goes on in this world. And you look for retirement and all of these things. But there's a life after we leave this old earth. And it's the things that we do for Christ that really last. The things that you're figuring that if we live to be 60, 70, 80, 100 years on this earth, that's nothing compared to spending an eternity in heaven, the time that never ends. And we're to lay up treasures in heaven. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. It's putting our foundation on the only one who can provide that peace and that contentment, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He said, where is the wise and the scribe and the disputer? God made foolish the wisdom of this world. Look in 1 Corinthians 3:19. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The wisdom of this world. And the things of this world, it brings error, it brings unhappiness. It doesn't bring that peace. There's a peace in my heart, like the old song said, which the world never gave. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have peace in your heart? I always think of that old song I used to hear when my mom used to, when I was a kid, and she used to play country music, and she was from Kentucky. When I was a kid, I'd remember she'd have on the radio and once in a while, and I think they used to play it on the old Arthur Godfrey show, Oh, We Ain't Got a Barrel of Money. Anybody ever remember that song? Some of you? We Ain't Got a Barrel of Money. Maybe We're Ragged and Funny. As we travel along singing our songs side by side and talking about some of these things, you might not have all the things that somebody else has. But if you're saved, you have something that the unsaved people don't have. And that's peace in your heart. And that's peace in your soul. And that's that contentment that we can have by knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, there's hope for happiness as we look here in Psalms, but I got a lot of scriptures, so I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. He tells us not to take the counsel of the ungodly, that means the unsaved. He said, for who's known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. When we're saved, we can have the mind of Christ, and the only way we can get that is from the Word of God. New mind. He'll give us something else. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. A new way of thinking. Go to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 10. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. A new heart. Notice, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. Then while we're there, go to chapter 10, verse 16. In Hebrews 10, 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then we know that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. He not only gives us a new heart and a new way of thinking, but we become a new person. And it now becomes possible to be a happy Christian. Some of the happiest Christians that I have met, and go back to Psalm chapter 1, are people who've been through a lot of trials and tribulations and gotten through it leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ. Met a lot of people who, over the years, who were very wonderful Christians who didn't have much. They didn't have much, but they had the Lord. And they had peace and contentment. I asked a fellow one time down in the Ozarks, I said, wouldn't you like to have more money? He said, what would I do with it? He said, I got everything I want. He lived in an old house down in the hills of the Ozarks. And he had an old wood stove to cook his dinner on. He said, I've got the Lord. I don't need anything else. Sometimes we think we have to have a lot. I met people when I was pastoring down there, kind of reminding me a little bit on Green Acres, where he got tired of the rat race of the city and moved down to the country. Met several people that had moved from the Chicago area way down in the Ozarks, and this was in the early 70s. One man was a pilot for an airline, and his wife, if I recall, played the piano for us at church, and he had a private plane, took me for a ride in it once. We were talking, and as we looked around his place there, I'd help him cut firewood. His yard was weeds and stuff, and he showed me pictures of where he lived in the suburbs of Chicago. He had a beautiful home. He had a maid. He had a butler. He had a gardener, and he had all the stuff. And he said, I kept having heart attacks with my stressful job. And he said, I sold it. And he lived down in the Ozarks, and he said, I don't care anything about mowing my lawn. He never mowed his lawn. It was weeds and dirt. And he said, as long as I'm happy, that's all I care about. The lady who ran the general store, they had moved from Chicago years before. But I met a lot of people that decided that all the things that this world offers didn't bring happiness, but what they found was Jesus Christ. And we were able to reach a lot of those people for the Lord. The guy, the pilot, they were saved. The people from the general store got saved, and we baptized them in the Big Piney River. Let me digress for a bit, but it was raining. And a whole bunch, we had two or three families that got saved who had been from up that way, were coming to church, and they got saved. We're going to go down and baptize. Now it's raining. You're going to get wet anyway, but it was raining. And we prayed. I can remember this so vividly. We all grouped together in our cars down by the Big Piney River. We prayed and asked the Lord, if it's your will, let it quit raining for a while so we can baptize these folks. We had 20, 30 people down there. I kid you not, within about a minute it quit raining and the sun came out. We baptized all those that needed to, and when we came out of the water, it started raining again. So we got in our cars and went back to the folks at the general store. I think they had a big get-together for everybody. That might be a little thing, but God can withhold and give rain. But I saw the happiness in people who gave up a complicated life to live a simple life and found peace and joy in knowing the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here in the Scriptures. There's nothing wrong with having things, but that's not contentment. Going back to Psalm chapter 1 here. In Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And we digressed a bit going through this, but why? Because the ungodly cannot give godly advice. They cannot give godly counsel. Unsaved people don't have that peace in their heart and life that only a saved person can have. But he's saying here, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's saying, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Go to Proverbs 13:1. You know, if you hang around with people who are negative all the time, you're going to be negative. If you hang around with people that are always moaning, groaning, griping, and complaining, you become like them. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Scorner doesn't listen to rebuke. Scornful means a mocker. Scorners are folks who will not listen to instruction. And so he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful, the mocker, and those who will not listen to instruction because they know everything. And so you can't tell them anything. And so a scorner seeks wisdom and doesn't find it. Look over in Proverbs 14:6. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Scorner doesn't find wisdom. You see, godly wisdom comes from God. A person who's not a Christian cannot get godly wisdom.
And if they did, they'd get saved, and then they could get it.
Well, look in Proverbs 15:12. A scorner doesn't love the one who corrects him. In Proverbs 15 and verse 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. So a scorner won't go to the wise. If someone corrects them, they won't take it. If someone is trying to show them the right way, they won't take it. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 10, he said, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. So he said, what do you do with a scorner? You cast him out. And then look in Proverbs 24 and verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. The scorner is an abomination to men. So abomination means disgusting. And so when we look in Psalm 1 here, we see what he's teaching. And he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. They don't go for ungodly counsel. They go to God's word or to God's man, to godly people, to get godly counsel. Blessed is the man that doesn't stand in the way of sinners or sits in the seat of the scornful. Scorners disgust just about everybody. They scoff and mock. They try to make us listen to words that are not true. Scorners make fun of godly people, and they're usually negative people. Scorners usually are against about everything and talk down the positive. We've all run across people like that. So he said, there's a blessing to the one who does not sit in the seat of the scornful, because pretty soon we'll be that way. The seat of the scornful, that word seat is to dwell and to stay a while, to associate with. And sometimes, you know, you run into people like that, but you pray for them. But it's best not to keep company with them. Now, the happy Christian avoids the seat of the scornful, but he's also involved in learning. Look in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. Psalm 1, 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He says, you know what? There's a blessing to the man who doesn't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit, abide, or dwell and hang around those in the seat of the scornful, but he delights in something far better, and that's in the law of the Lord. And on the law of the Lord, he would meditate day and night. It does us better to meditate, to think, to dwell on the things of God and the Word of God than all of the negative things in this world. There's a lot of people that they always look at the negative on everything. They're always being critical. They're critical about everything. Well, look over in Psalm 119 and verse 165. Psalm 119 and verse 165. The psalmist here, in Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the book of the Psalms, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, when you have great peace, God's word brings peace. When a person has peace with God, they're not going to be easily offended. You run into some people, they're always easily offended. Some people wear their feelings, so to speak. I heard an old guy say it once, they just wear their feelings on their shirt sleeves. If a person's easily offended, they're looking for something. I found that out a long time ago. And Christians ought not to be easily offended. And usually find out if a person's easily offended, their heart is not right with God. As a pastor, and I'm sure you as Christians, sometimes people offend us. If I got mad every time somebody offended me, I'd be in a state of madness all the time. Maybe some of you would too. Sometimes you chalk it up to the fact that that person needs prayer. That person needs encouragement. And so a lot of times there are always people who are always negative and they always offend you. And there are some people that are always looking to be offended and they take everything the wrong way. And as God's people, we ought never to be like that. We look at the scripture, God's word brings peace. Let me finish out Psalm 1 here and we'll close. And he shall be, verse 3 of Psalm 1, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When we're in God's word and meditate on it, it's like that tree by the rivers of water. And if you're ever down by the trees, down by the river, you ever notice how those roots go down into the water? I've been out in the desert of New Mexico and along the Rio Grande, where it would be all desert around there. There's a river, a creek bank, and there's green trees and lush bushes along the creek bank. And then you got desert. It could be desert, you could have a drought, but those trees that are by that water are going to be green. And he said, we're in the word of God, we're going to flourish in essence. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. Why? Because they don't have Christ. But they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand. As I said before, that means they have no standing in the judgment. They will not be acquitted in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Ungodly counsel doesn't come close to the scriptures. It's focused on common wisdom, and God's word promises Christians happiness and stability and productivity and success, something that this world cannot give. I'm thankful for the word of God, for the advice it gives, for the strength that it gives. And the psalmist here gives us some fantastic things. I haven't covered everything in Psalms 1. But the Word of God is a wonderful, wonderful book. You know, I've gotten from time to time, I don't know if I have one in my Bible, the bookmark that we give out in our visitor packet, well, all of those verses and where to turn to. I've had different ones tell me that that has helped them an awful lot looking up those verses. You know what it tells me? There's people who, when they're troubled, maybe they don't read their Bible like they should. They'll turn to the Word of God in time of need. The better way is not to wait till we get in trouble, but turn to the Word of God every day. Amen? If we turn to the Word of God every day, we're going to gradually be getting strength. People talk about immune systems getting down. You know, the spiritual vitamins we need are from the Bible, and if one doesn't get in their Bible regularly, I'll phrase it my way, their spiritual immune system goes down. We need that extra shot of vitamins from the Word of God, spiritual vitamins to help us each and every day. We have a wonderful Word of God. We have a wonderful Savior. Amen? I just wanted to share that with you tonight. We're going to sing a song. Let's stand tonight.